You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Building Unicorns. Now, this podcast is not just focused on unicorns, but also on companies that are building towards becoming a unicorn. And one such company, of course, is online furniture platform Pepperfry. And we have with us right now Ashish Shah, co-founder and COO of Pepperfry. Ashish, thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, before we come to the whole unicorn question about valuation, etc., we definitely on this show want to talk about the journey of the company, building the company. That is why we've named the show Building Unicorns. So I want to go back to all the way back when Pepperfry was launched as a lifestyle e-commerce marketplace in 2012. And in 2013, you decided that you want to move out of all other categories and only focus on home and furniture sector. And since then, you have shipped more than 7 million furniture and home items. Tell us a little bit about this journey, why you decided to focus only on furniture, which was such a fragmented market. What led you to only focus on furniture, and what has the growth and the journey been like for you?
Yeah, thanks, Mugdha, first of all, for having me on the podcast. To begin with, before setting up Pepperfry, both Amrish and me worked for, eBay for many years. I was with Bazi.com and eBay setup for a long time. And therefore have been, kind of participating in the e-commerce growth story in the country for, since the year 2002. And during all of these years, we were very good at, I would say we mastered the art of selling brand new fixed price products, starting from electronics, laptops, computers, to books, media, music, etc. Right. And around the year 2010-11, we thought that the second wave of e-commerce, which is usually around, non-branded products, non-standard products, is going to arrive in the country. And when I say non-branded, non-standard products, we are talking about apparels, we are talking about jewelry, home and furniture businesses, etc. And therefore, when we started, we said that we will build businesses into these categories because these are the categories where people, customers would not buy products only for the price points, but for the design and the value that they get of the product. And therefore, these categories start with making a lot of margins to, at the highest level. So when Amrish and me were setting up the business, we said we will build businesses which are going to be around non-branded, non-standard products, right? Idea is, as a businessman to make money while building a large business. So therefore, from get-go, we got into, lifestyle categories. We were doing everything like you said. And, early on, we realized that it is very difficult to execute around so many categories, especially when the play is going to be a marketplace play, right? Because, executing to apparels, jewelry, etc. is kind of very difficult, especially when you want to be inventory lean and you want to make a large business out of small and medium enterprises. Around that time, our customer franchise around furniture and home was doing really well. We were getting a lot of good feedback around what we were doing in the furniture category. We were the first ones to sell furniture online in the country, very proud of it today. And therefore we said that why, do so many things, get focused and do what customers want us to do. And that is where early, in 2013, we decided to become a home and furniture play.
Okay, so that was a very conscious decision you made. And of course, Ashish, but I do want to talk about the fact that since the pandemic, of course, there has been an impact across sectors, across businesses. What has happened to the furniture segment, especially because, job losses, financial stress, etc., buying furniture may not be something that a lot of people would consider, especially now in the second wave, after the second wave, etc. What are the trends that you have seen on Pepperfry since the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic?
See, I think there are two sides of the story here, Mugdha. First of all, of course, these categories are too late in the evolution, I would say. And therefore, these purchases are quite discretionary in nature. If you are not buying a new home or shifting to a new home, you are not even thinking about buying furniture or home products. So in that sense, from an overall sentiment standpoint, I would say because the category is discretionary in nature, it got impacted because of COVID. Having said that, at the same time, many other things, in the overall environment happened because of which the category actually did really well after the pandemic, once the pandemic opened last year. The first, big trend over there was that many people started buying loose furniture, instead of, getting carpenters to come in their homes and build furniture for them, right? So that was one really important trend. Pepperfry, you would know, is all about loose furnitures. We are about single pieces of furniture that people buy on our website, right? And therefore, everything which was happening through carpenters actually started coming to us. All of that business started coming to us. The second was retail was impacted, offline retail, and therefore malls, etc. were not open. And therefore, many people were coming to, buy furniture online. The third thing was, of course, people were spending a lot of time in their homes. They were also setting up, their small offices in home. They were spending a lot more time in front of the television and therefore, started thinking about the couch that needed a replacement or, having a dining table where family can sit together and have their lunch and dinner, right? And therefore, while from an overall sentiment standpoint, I would say the category got impacted, but there were many other, positive factors which led to significant growth in our business, as soon as we came out of pandemic last year. So from June 2020 till February 2021, we were kind of rocking as a business. And then, of course, the second wave happened. We are hoping that even, second wave was, from supply chain standpoint was not as harsh because most of the warehouses were open, distribution centers were open, deliveries were impacted in a certain markets. But then I think things are opening up now and we are already seeing demand coming back.
Okay. Very positive to hear you say that you were, rocking, of course, till the second wave of the pandemic. And of course, this pandemic, the second wave has been really harsh. And like you said, if not on the supply side, then definitely on the demand side is something where, there could be an impact. I want to also ask you, because you've had such a strong offline strategy over the last few years, you've had a strong focus on this. You have, 70 plus experiential studios around four cities, and they were contributing 30% plus to your overall revenues. Now, on the offline play, what has the impact been during the pandemic, and whether that revenue share has now changed for you?
Yeah, so Mugdha, of course, when the offline markets are shut, when malls are not allowed to operate, or the high streets were shut, our studios were also shut across the country, and therefore, the significant contribution that, studios were bringing to the overall business was impacted. Having said that, just from the format standpoint, because we do not sell from our studios and our overall goal is to only consult customers to make the right purchase decisions. What we did around this time, when the studios were shut, was that we started something called buy on phone on our website, where customers could, customers who are not as online savvy could call up a number and those numbers would be routed to the studio team. And then the team would spend hours of times with, our customers to help them make the right purchase decision. So I would not say that the business was completely shut from the studios. Fortunately for us, because of our model, which is a consulting model, we were able to still continue consulting our customers and converted them online, even during the time when the markets were shut. Now, as markets are opening, most of our studios are going to go live by 1st of July. And that is when we are very hopeful that, significant business is going to come back.
Okay. So you did see an impact on offline, but now that, of course, a lot of states are unlocking, you're hoping that there could be some kind of traction.
Yeah.
Again. But what about...
Sorry, Mugdha, I just also wanted to talk about a trend over here. When the studios opened, when the pandemic, ended last year around May, June, we actually thought of ramping up our studio presence significantly. And that is where I changed my franchisee model from 80, 90 lakh rupees investment model to a 40 lakh investment model. And I was very surprised to see that even during the pandemic time, between June of last year to March of this year, we actually opened 22 studios. Now, this is something that happened with us for the first time, because overall, my studio count from franchisee was only 12. But after the opening of the lockdowns last year, I actually added 22 studios. And therefore, my ambition around this has changed significantly. Very recently, just 2 weeks back, I launched a new program, which is a 15 lakh rupees investment program. And this year, my goal is to open 200 plus studios across the country. So, while the offline business is impacted, I think just this omni-channel business is getting many more people to sign up Pepperfry. And they are very excited by the fact that even when the markets are shut, people are able to convert customers to buy online during tough times.
Okay, so your change in your approach towards your franchising model is what helped you actually open up more studios, even during the pandemic, is what you say.
And now we are opening many more. Like I said, we have an ambition to open 200 studios in the next 15 months. Yes.
Wow. That's very ambitious then, Ashish. So, where's the funding coming from this? Because I understand just before the pandemic, in fact, you had managed to raise a big round, and that too from an investor like Pidilite, the makers of Fevicol. You know, they of course have extensive knowledge in this furniture trade business. Do you still have a runway with those funds? Are you looking to raise more funds? And now I'll ask you that critical question, at what valuation then? Because I recently saw, you know, you mentioned in an interview that Pepperfry will become a unicorn very soon. So when are you, when can we see you join the unicorn club?
Yeah, so Mukta, I would say that there are various milestones to the business. 1.5, you know, couple of years back, we decided that, you know, we are a large business, and therefore it is important for us to turn profitable really soon. You know, all of last 1.5 years, the entire team focused on, you know, executing to this goal. There are many steps that we took as a business during the last pandemic, you know, starting from saving costs to improving our margins to negotiating costs with our suppliers. And therefore, you know, very happy to tell you that, you know, before the second wave, our business was very, very close to profitability. It's a very big feat for us because, you know, just a couple of years back, this was looking, you know, quite difficult. And I would say, you know, all of us came together to take these steps. And as you know, as soon as we were close to profitability, our next goalpost now is to, you know, IPO our business, you know, go to public markets. And therefore, I think as soon as things open up and business is back, I think it should not take us more than 12 to 18 months to go to public markets.
The IPO is something we have seen Pepperfry talk about for several years, Ashish. I remember at least for the last 2-3 years. Yeah. So you're saying another 12 to 18 months. You know, what have been the challenges before when you talked about an IPO, and what are the challenges to hit the market? And now, why do you feel that you're ready now for that IPO in the next 12 to 18 months?
Yeah, I think the first time we started talking about IPO is, you know, late 2019, when we had kind of decided that our next goal is to turn profitable as a business, right? And profitability is, of course, the first step that you need to achieve in order to take your business to IPO. And like I said, you know, we were very clearly on that path. We took several, you know, changes on the website. We launched shipping charges. We launched assembly charges, improved our margins, saved monies, you know, in every possible line item, right? And therefore, when we last spoke about, you know, going IPO, which was late last year, we were very confident about the timelines, etc. We know what happened to the world, you know, starting this March. And I would say we continue to be on our path. Perhaps, you know, it has got delayed by 6 more months because of the second wave of pandemic. And of course, we will need to do more business to ensure that we make more profits, and then only we can take our business to IPO, right? And therefore, waiting for the markets to open, I think from our business architecture standpoint, we are, you know, right up there in terms of our prep towards the IPO.
Okay, so you want to be one of those businesses which are profitable and then hit the markets, unlike, you know, the whole strong pipeline of unicorns that we are seeing who are still not profitable but have already begun their process for the IPO. How soon then will you hit profitability?
I think as soon as the markets open, Mukta, in my mind, I think right now as we speak, you know, we do this number every day, close to 65% of our markets are open right now. You know, when I look at various cities and the current lockdown regulations, I think hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, by July, mid, all markets should be open. And as soon as things open, I think we should be profitable from day one.
So you're saying by July is when basically all the lockdowns are relaxed is when you're saying you could be profitable. So you July, August, yes, yes, when you could hit profitability.
Yes, of course. See, we need to do business to turn profitable,
and this
right?
Is
right
overall now, profitability, you know, or are you talking about EBITDA profitability?
Overall profitability. You know, this is fully loaded. We are not talking about operating profits, etc. here. Okay. As a business, we want to make money. Yes.
Okay. So we'll...
And you know, to your earlier question, Mukta, we like to do many things in a traditional way. I think it is important for a company to be profitable and show a good, healthy growth rates before you hit the public markets. I would say, you know, we are one of such entrepreneurs.
Okay. So we'll come back to you. In fact, then, you know, in July or August once, of course, like you said, the lockdowns and the cities open and, you know, check on the whole profitability status. And lastly, of course, Ashish, I have to ask you about the competition space now, because we see IKEA is becoming more aggressive now, entering more cities. They've launched their mobile app. Urban Company, which was one of your biggest competitors, is now under the Reliance umbrella. How are you looking at the whole competition landscape as of now?
See, Mukta, I would say, you know, very early on, I think the reason Pepperfry continues to be the largest, you know, home and furniture business today in India is because we have always relied on the strategy that we made, you know, really early on. We always focused on being an omni-channel business. We always kept our supply chain in-house. We always focused on building our brand and continue to deliver to our proposition of great variety and great price. And, you know, many things have happened in the last, you know, 3 to 5 years, you know, starting from demonetization to GST changes, to then two waves of pandemic, etc. I think the reason we continue to remain strong is because of the overall strategy that we put in place really early on. And therefore, from execution standpoint, we will continue to build on, you know, what we, you know, decided for ourselves early on. We have seen competition in many from many different directions in the last 3-4 years. I would say our strategy has helped. Since 2017, we have been the largest players in the business. I also think that competition is healthy. You know, overall, if you look at the home and furniture market, we are talking about a close to $30 to $32 billion market opportunity, out of which only 9 to 10% is organized, right? So while a lot of competition in the organized play is coming, I think all of us would win only when we get more share of the unorganized player. And in my mind, therefore, more the people in the organized space, you are creating more awareness with consumers to buy branded products. And when it comes to branded products, I think Pepperfry is right up there. We are always in the consideration set when people want to buy branded furniture and home products, right? So that's how we look at competition. I think competition is healthy. Competition is useful. Competition is only allowing us to grow our market more.
Right. Always. I think competition helps expand the market, and especially when it's about online versus offline or organized versus unorganized. Yeah, I think definitely, you know, more players, more customer behavior, you know, is something that you can build. Ashish, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and we will come back to you, like I said, to check on some of those metrics on your IPO plans and your profitability. Absolutely. Wishing you all the best with your plans and stay safe.
Thanks. Thank you, Mukta. Always great to interact with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you everyone for listening to this podcast. In case you wish to give us any feedback, suggestions or have questions, please do write to us on CNBC TV18 podcast at nw18.com. Thank you and have a nice day.